So the Browns end up finishing the season 1-15.
Yes.
Not one of their shining moments in franchise history.
It is the worst.
In franchise history, isn't it?
In franchise history.
Yeah, because they couldn't get much worse. 0-16
would
have been worse.
But right. They didn't.
They
but
didn't.
1-5. I mean, you still would think the expansion year
would have been the worst.
Yes. That was 2-14.
Oh, so they had 2 wins that season. Oh, boy.
But
okay.
Frankly, the year before, how many did they win?
Just 3.
So, I mean, I've had some people upset, and I said, well, so you're telling me this front office messed up a 3-13 team.
Right.
That's what you're telling me by ripping it up.
Yeah, it's not
a little context. I mean, we could talk about different moves, but let's have some context here.
Mm-hmm. So Jimmy Haslam is keeping everybody in place.
Yes.
Which is the right move.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you fire everybody after the 2012 season, as he did, then you fire everybody after the 2013 season, which he did, and you fire everybody after the 2015 season, which he did. So that's 3 in 5 years. If you were to fire everybody after the 2016 season, who is going to work for you?
Right. You start, yeah, who are you going to get?
I mean, you would just get somebody, I need a job somewhere, and it's better than nothing. And I sometimes hear fans say to me, well, these guys will come to Cleveland, and they'll come for the money, and they'll get paid. Most of them have already made their money, Amanda.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're like Hugh Jackson, who was a offensive coordinator with the Bengals before he came and took the Browns head coaching job, that job with the Bengals pays $1 million. I mean, coordinators in the NFL make $1 million. And they've been doing it for a while. So in other words, we're talking about people who've been in these executive jobs. They're paying $500,000 or $1 million. They're millionaires already. When
right.
they come in here
uh-huh.
for these big jobs. So they're not, quote, just coming for the money.
Right. Okay.
And frankly, who really wants to come? I want to come to Cleveland and destroy my career.
Right.
And make sure that I never get a head coaching job or I never become a GM anywhere else. No, they're coming here because they think that, frankly, if I could be the guy that turns it around, it helps my career, along with they know that, you know, the acclaim that would come to you in Cleveland. These, like Hugh Jackson playing with the Bengals, playing the Browns, he knows what this town would go on fire for a team that goes 500.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so they know all that. And Jimmy Haslam, whether this is going to work or not, he would have looked totally foolish.
To fire everybody again.
Yeah. So here we go.
Okay. And now the number one pick.
Number one pick.
Is going to be all that everyone's talking about.
Right. And they have the number 12 pick.
Okay. They have a lot of picks, don't they?
Yes. I think it's going to be at least a dozen.
Okay.
It could be more.
Well, I'm just dreading that already.
Yes. You'll love it. The combine will be very important in your life, Amanda. As it will be in all of ours who pay even token attention to the Browns. But the, you know, the idea there was, I mean, for her while here, well, they should bring in another football guy and he could help these guys.
Right.
If you're bringing in a person who's any good to, like, run your draft or whatever, he's going to want his own coach and he's going to want his own scouts. He's not going to want – everybody who comes in wants to bring their own people.
Okay.
So then you might as well just done the nuclear option and blown it up and start all over. Amanda, in theory, I like the idea of what they've done, which is you play a lot of younger guys, you pile up your draft choices. And some people have made fun of them having 12 or 14 draft choices. But the more draft choices you have, what does that do for your odds of...
I mean, the more picks you have, the more chance you have of getting it right.
You could just stumble into somebody.
Right, yeah.
For example, people talk about the Dallas Cowboys finding his quarterback, Dak Prescott. Okay. What round was he drafted in?
4th.
Okay. 4th round. Well, why didn't the Browns take him? Yeah, they could have drafted him. How many quarterbacks were taken before Dak Prescott?
8.
8. So Dallas passed over him a couple times, too.
Okay.
In fact, ESPN did a list of all these quarterbacks that Dallas tried to trade for. It was like Josh McCown was one of the calls they made.
Wow.
Nick Foles, another veteran. They try to trade up for a guy named Paxton Lynch. They try to trade up for another guy named Connor Cook. And finally, as a 4th round, all these things fell through. They sort of like Prescott, kind of like the Browns, sort of like Cody Kessler. Let's just take him.
Okay.
So he comes in. No plan to play him. They have two veteran quarterbacks in front of him. One is named Tony Romo, and another is named Moore. Moore gets hurt. Romo gets hurt. They put the kid in there.
Okay.
He starts to win. Uh-huh. Now, he's with perhaps the best offensive line in the NFL. He has Ezekiel Elliott. Ohio State fans know him. Mm-hmm. Top young running back in the NFL. He has a really good tight end named Jason Witten. And he has a very good wide receiver in Dez Bryant. Now, this kid has played very well. But it's kind of like taking a young race car driver and you put him in. This car can run. It's got the best tires, the best mechanics, and the fastest engine. Just don't hit the wall, son. And so that's kind of how it's been.
So what you're saying is the Browns need everything.
They need everything. And having a bunch of picks, maybe you get lucky. Uh-huh. A few years ago, the Seattle Seahawks were looking for a quarterback. And everybody knows now Russell Wilson's the quarterback, take him there. He wasn't supposed to start. They gave $10 million to a guy named Matt Flynn the same year. He was a backup quarterback in the NFL with Green Bay.
Wow.
They brought him in and they took Wilson in the third round. Hey, he's kind of interesting, you know, kind of like Dak Prescott, but we'll just see. Well, what happens is Flynn is terrible. Another guy gets hurt. Russell Wilson gets in. You don't even hear him at Flynn anymore. I forgot who the guy was that got hurt. And he goes to the Super Bowl. Now, he also came into a pretty good situation.
Yeah.
But these people who claim their genius is taking a quarterback in the fourth round or whatever, sixth round ends up being good, they're not.
Right.
All right, here's another story along those lines. Tom Brady. Best quarterback in the NFL. What round did he go in?
Sixth.
In fact, if you really want to be sad, the Browns took a guy named Spurgeon Wynn in front of him.
Oh.
There's like 12 quarterbacks picked in front of Tom Brady.
Wow.
So I'm actually talking one day to the guy that drafted Tom Brady. Scott Pioli is his name. Belichick was the head coach in New England. Uh-huh. Pioli was running the draft. And in the lower rounds, Belichick pretty much checks out. I mean, you know, he's not sitting there. He can't be head coach and general manager and know everybody in the sixth round.
Right.
And he said, look, we sort of like Brady and, you know, we took him. He said, but like, if I were that smart, why am I waiting to the sixth round to take Tom Brady?
Yeah, exactly.
And you're taking him in the first round or at least the top three rounds.
Right.
He said, it's just, here's a player personnel. I like a little bit about this guy. We got the pick. Belichick likes to draft a young quarterback every year somewhere in the draft. Let's take him. Uh-huh. And they had a guy named Drew Bledsoe, mm-hmm. veteran, is supposed to play. He gets hurt.
In comes Brady
with a good season. The team's pretty good again. See, that's one of the themes here. When these younger guys get put in, this is not a race car with a bunch of flat tires and the engine overheating. Okay, uh-huh. This thing knows how to run in the Indianapolis 500. It's going to be in contention.
Right.
So now he's behind the wheel, this really good race car. The question is, you know, how does he handle the pressure and everything else? Well, Brady gets hot. In fact, then Bledsoe just disappears. They get rid of him.
Yeah.
But as Scott Pioli, the man who drafted Tom Brady, I mean, his reputation, goes, if I were that smart, why did I wait till the sixth round?
Yeah, exactly.
I always liked that honest humility, you know. Now, to his credit, there's probably some other bad quarterback. He could another version of Spurgeon Wynn he could have taken. Yeah. But he didn't. He did take Tom Brady.
Wow.
So I guess what I'm saying is if you got a whole bunch of picks, maybe they'll get lucky. But you also have to have the right kind of race car to put them in.
That's right.
You can't put them on a scooter and expect them to win the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, not going to happen. All right. Well, that's all we're going to be talking about now is the draft. The front office is in place. They went 1-15, and now we just wait for the draft.
And they have many picks.
And they have a lot of picks. All right, Terry, thanks.
That's what it means to be a Browns fan.
Picks, that's it. Okay. Terry, thanks.